All right, praise God. He's good, right? Amen. Wow. Like it says in Acts, first he does you, then he teaches you, right? Well, this whole song service was about what I'm going to teach you right now. And I just hope that it creates an excitement in you for who God is and how he operates. I was asking God after I listened to Terry's message, I was like, God, what do you want me to talk on? And he spoke to me, unity. Well, if you look at unity, it's so broad. So I was like, okay, God, help me out. So hopefully what I have will come through to you clearly. Otherwise, Father, I'm just asking you right now to send your spirit to just speak to every heart here, that they would hear what you would have them to hear. Father, that would bring breakthrough in their lives, that it would break walls down, that your anointing would cover over them, that they would walk in power and walk in your spirit. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here. Flow through me like a mighty river. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So first scripture, Psalm 133, this is going to be our God scripture. And probably everything I say today is not going to be new to you. But I pray that it just creates a stirring in your spirit to see unity happen in your life. So behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garment. Battery. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. John, I can use the handheld if you want me to. Let's see if that works. All right. So behold, I'm not going to read it all again, but behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. For there the Lord commanded the blessing. Do you know when you walk in unity, when you choose unity, he commands a blessing. It's not there might be. No, he commands it. So that's why it's so important to choose unity. To walk in unity. I like what Terry was saying, because he said we have a responsibility to live out our identity in Christ. A responsibility, you have to take action, you have to do something. And I think unity has a lot to do with that. You have a responsibility to choose unity. And you know what, it's not just so you can become a doormat for someone. It's not like I'm always just going to lay my life down and never. No, it's for health and wholeness. Because it commands a blessing on your life. It commands a blessing on your marriage. It commands a blessing on your kids, your family. It commands a blessing in your church body, in your business, place of work. It commands a blessing when you choose unity. And you know, we only can get our identity from God. If you're trying to figure it out on your own, who am I? What? No, go to God and say, who am I? Read his word, and if you read the word with the focus of who am I, you will know, and you just start writing them down and then saying them every day, because you will gain understanding of who God is and who he has called you to be. And then when you know who you are and you're learning from him who you are, you'll also know his ways. And one of his ways is unity. He commands a blessing when we dwell together in unity. And how many of us have been a part of disunity? We'll go there in a little bit. I might get a little meddling today. I hope not, but. So unity is the state of being united or joined as a whole. It means oneness, sameness, agreement. Do you know that you are united to the body of Christ, whether you know it or not? You are united. We are one, and I'm going to show you in the word today. Now, there's also other examples of not good unity, right? The Tower of Babel, if you want to read it on your own, Genesis 11. It talks about in Genesis 11, it talks about the Tower of Babel. He said that the people wanted to build a tower and make a name for themselves. Sounds like pride, right? We're going to reach the heavens. We're going to do this. It's going to be my kingdom. And what did God say? He said, indeed, the people are one, and now nothing that they propose to do will be impossible for them. Can I not drink? So did you hear that? Even in the negative. Because they weren't going to do something that was good. In the negative, if there's unity, if you can get a people to think the same ways, think the same thing, look at how many cults have done horrendous things. Yeah. And they're all thinking the same way. So then Jesus came on the scene. Jesus' last prayer in the garden was about unity. And I'm going to read, or have you follow along too, John 17, 20 to 23. I do not ask, mine might be a little different, sorry. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. Even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you have loved me. Hang around that chapter for a while. There's so many good things that are in here, but Jesus prayed that they would all be one. His last prayer for us wasn't that they would all walk in power, that they would all be happy, that they would all evangelize. No, it was that they would be one. Him in us, we in him. And I love it because his glory, Jesus said, the glory which you have given me, I have given to them. The glory is in you. He has given you the glory. Don't let anybody tell you that you can't get too close to him, because no, his glory has been given to us, that we may be perfected in unity. Sounds like iron sharpens iron, doesn't it? Perfected in unity. Unity requires sacrifice. It requires honor to all. It requires submit to all, or submit one to another. It requires a sacrifice of self. I think so many times it can just be about, it's all about me, my, and I. No, my needs didn't get met. I don't like how they sing the song. I wish they would do this more. It becomes about me and I, instead of about what? We, us. And I was like, wow, that's really good, because if it's just me, it doesn't, that's just my preference, right? Preferences can really be a barrier, can really create division. And you can be a critic and not receive anything from the Lord. Self-sacrifice is good for a marriage, isn't it, honey? To become one, here again, to become one. And it's a mutual self-sacrifice. You learn how to flow. He's smiling. You learn how to flow together. And that's, and sometimes I'm like, God, this is too big. This is too much. How can all of us come and be one? But it's by his Spirit, which we sang about today. I thought of this song, or actually I heard this song from, and it was a long time ago, and I don't know if anybody will know it, but it's a song, a worship song we used to sing. It's, so forget about yourself, concentrate on him and worship him. So forget about yourself, concentrate on him and worship him. So forget about yourself, concentrate on him and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Jesus Christ the Lord. So do you think we needed to learn to forget about yourself? I was just thinking, we sang that song over and over. Forget about yourself. Unity requires you to sacrifice your will to accomplish his will. And Jesus did the ultimate sacrifice, didn't he? He said, not my will, God, but your will. And he did this for the sake of unity. He did this so we can walk in complete unity. And Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy. Every division, every barrier, separation, Jesus destroyed on the cross. Now we are reconciled back to the Father, and we're able to enjoy freedom and liberty because he broke religion and brought relationship. Jesus also said that he had to go so that the Holy Spirit could come. We've got to know Holy Spirit. We've got to spend time with Holy Spirit. He is the breaker. All the songs we were singing this morning. Let him break out of you. Break down those walls. Holy Spirit can do it. And that's why Jesus said, I have to go. The Holy Spirit will cause you to preach the good news. Heal the broken. You'll proclaim liberty to the captive. You'll open prison doors for those who are bound. You'll proclaim favor on people. Comfort. You'll console people. Holy Spirit is so much in our lives, and we have to know his ways. Holy Spirit causes you to live in unity. Look at the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The gifts of the Spirit are amazing, and I'm not going to list them all. 1 Corinthians 12:12-14 talks about us being one body. This is where the gifts are at. The fruit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit is listed in these chapters 12, 13, and 14. But he talks about us being one body. And there's many parts to our body, but it still forms the whole body. So we are one, and we need each other. And the Holy Spirit has special abilities, like I said, to help us walk and make the choice of unity. We were meant to demonstrate the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ in unity through the power of the Holy Spirit. We're to demonstrate what he did on the cross. You guys, life can be messy though, right? Relationships can be messy. And a lot of the word is about relating one to another, right? It has to deal a lot with how we relate to each other. Stress can strain relationships and we can hurt one another. We don't want to be broken. This is why the Holy Spirit is the comforter. It's amazing because you have the best person to go to when your life gets messy, when a relationship gets messy. He's the comforter. How many like to be told something not so good about yourself? How many like to be critiqued? How many like, you know what I mean? And then when somebody says that and you're like, whoa, that hurt. It's not always fun and easy, but it's so good to be able to go to Holy Spirit and say, hey, help me with this. Help me walk through this. Help me find understanding. Is this me? Is what they're saying truth and I need to heal, get healing for it? Or is it something that the other person is dealing with and they're taking stuff out on you? And it just helps you to walk free. Because either way, you're going to come out free. Proverbs 6:16-19. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. The one that's an abomination to him is the one who sows discord among the brethren. Just let that sink in. God, forgive me. Ephesians 4, 25 to 32. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as it is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. You are not a person of wrath. You are not a person of anger. You are not a person of attitudes, of opinions, of critiques, of judgments. That is not who you are. You are a person of love, being tender-hearted, forgiving each other. But the one thing that really stuck out to me was to not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And I felt like what he was saying right before it was to let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only that which builds somebody up, only that which creates life in their life. That it would give grace to those who hear. I think that is how we grieve the Holy Spirit, is by speaking unwholesome things and not choosing unity. First Corinthians 1:10, in this chapter, Paul is talking to the Corinthians, and he's saying this right before telling them that he knows they're having quarrels. So he says, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. Satan's goal is to divide and conquer. If he can get at your heart or your mind and cause you to doubt, you'll be unstable. And then you're unstable in all your ways, and you won't get the answer you need. He's trying to conquer you, conquer your mind, conquer your heart with the lies that he has. So it says, agree with one another in what you say, because this does sound a little bit like we all have to be robots, and that's not what I see. Because agree with one another in what you say. What are we saying? What are we unified about? Jesus. And when you get together, isn't it a joy? I had so much fun last night just talking to the different people. And what do? We go around talking about God. And it's amazing. I was like, oh, I see it. I see what you're saying, God. It's what we're saying. It's what we're talking about. We talk about the blood of Jesus cleansing us. We talk about his body being beat for our healing. We talk about him dying and raising again. We talk about his resurrection. Resurrection life lives within us. We talk about Holy Spirit. We talk about the kingdom. We talk about him. So be united, agree with one another in what you say. And then there will be no divisions. Now, I get it, everyday life, I don't like the carpet in here, but Jen does. I get there's things like that, but that's where you gotta lay down, you know, and work together. A lot of times I think, well, we go through these simple things and you think, oh, that's just minor and trivial. But I'm telling you, being a part of the church for the last 30 years has told me that some of those minor trivial things are very detrimental to some people. You can attest. But those, we have to learn how to work through those things. Help me to understand why you don't like me, or help me to understand why you think this about me. Help me to understand when you said that, it made me feel like that. It's working in relationship. I think the flight or fight is normally what we end up doing, right? You punch me, I'm gonna punch you back. Or I'm just like, I'm leaving that place. They don't love there. And that's what we say. But the Holy Spirit can bring such unity and such, and when it's not about me anymore and my whole focus becomes about you, and how is Justin doing? Why, you know, let's figure this out, Justin. If we could talk, but I know when emotions are heated, it's kind of hard to sometimes. And sometimes you might have to say, let's come back tomorrow and we'll talk about this, to work through our divisions. But then we will be perfectly united in mind and thought. If we agree with what we are saying together, if we agree that the word says how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, and we all recognize that, and that's what we want to choose, then he'll command the blessing upon us and upon our lives. If you would stand with me. We have communion today. So if I could get a couple guys to come up. Sure. So go ahead, come on up and grab your communion. What I'd like to do is I'd like us to take communion together. In unity. But I have one more scripture that I would like to share. And this is powerful. Unity is so powerful, isn't it? So go ahead, take out the bread. Got one. Father, I thank you for how awesome you are. I thank you for sending your son, Jesus, who chose to die, who chose to be beat, scourged, broken for our healing. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you. Partake of healing. We thank you, Father, for the blood that was shed, that cleanses us, that makes us whole, that makes us perfect. We thank you for your blood. Thank you, Jesus. Partake. Thank you, Jesus. Now, the last scripture, Matthew 18, 19 to 20. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. What I would like you to do is get together with two or three people and agree with that them. And the Father is going to answer you. It'll be done by your Father in heaven. Unity. Unity. Amen.